settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. This week we'll be discussing child abuse, and if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open, and the number to call is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. And if you'd like to know more about us, our books and our work, please do go to our website at www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and as usual, I'll be channeling our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay, who will be taking center stage on the show. Spirit guide Gregory will borrow my body so he can speak to you, and if you have a question relating to our subject of discussion, then please do pick up the phone. He'd love to hear from you. And that's really all from me. I only have a short part in this. So please, I'll hand everything over to you, Sylvie, now, and do have a great show then.
Thanks, Mick.
Right, bye.
So Mick's going to go into trance now and bring Gregory through. And Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. And they consist of scientific minds of all descriptions, along with ordinary people who have a valuable input to make. They are an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. This is a huge event in the spirit world when we do this kind of communication. It's not only just us on Earth who will be listening, but also thousands of spirit beings in the spirit world who will be listening and watching the experts in the team work in this way. There are those who have had a physical life on Earth and also those who want to in the future, which is why, as the mediums for the group, our aim is to offer positive input into exactly why we are here and how we can, with a concerted effort by everybody, restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. So, I'd just like to say that our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, and don't forget our number is 877-876-5227. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friend.
Nice to see you again.
And how wonderful it is to be in your kind vibration once again, little bird.
Thank you.
We are so privileged and honored, as always, to be able to speak with you in this way. We thank you for your kindness and your love.
Lovely. Well, everybody's excited about tonight's topic. It's child abuse. It's a very sensitive topic, but nevertheless, there's very complex causes of child abuse, and I'm sure we're going to find a lot more. I don't suppose there's no one way to describe a typical child abuser, is there?
There is not. Obviously, those abusers stem from different situations within their environment, within their makeup, how they were brought up, whatever the situations, the forces of negativity that played an active role within their lives. One must always look upon how, to the child abuser, this is a situation of power, perhaps, or control, exerting one's own freedom, as some people would have it, who typically are the abusers, that they feel it is their right, perhaps, or even a necessity of their lives, perhaps to do with their own gratification in some way, but more often than not, it is not necessarily to do with anything that is sexually related. It may well be purely the dominance factor, the failure of an individual to keep control of their own lives, and therefore they have to bring disorder to others. The simplest ones to bring disorder to are those who are of a younger age than themselves. So therefore, is child abuse typically to do with those of the smallest? Indeed not. It may well be anyone who is considerably younger than the abuser. In this way, then, it means that there are, as I say, different ways, different forces against the individual who has been driven to this cause and effect in their lives. Now, we understand full well the many desperate situations which come about during people's lives and how these situations may affect them in different ways. People themselves who have been abused in their childhood perhaps may typically end up as being abusers themselves in some way. Now, this abuse may not be physical, it may be mental. It is not to say, however, that all child abusers who have had the similar experience to their own childhood relatively act out the same situation again and again to other beings, toward other beings, and therefore inflict their own discarnate worries upon others. It isn't something that is purely related to that. After all, many people who have been abused will not become abusers themselves. So it isn't something which is obviously bound to have a specific knock-on effect. It may be, of course, however, that some people who have been abused in younger life will quite typically perhaps form difficult relationships with other people, with other beings in their lives. Friends or family or even loving relationships may have great difficulty in these areas because of the abuse that has taken place and the relativity by which they try to overcome these aspects which have driven them into this corner, if you like. Many people, after all, suffer from great despair from being abused. Typically, of course, there will be those who have done these deeds to them who are in places or positions of power over them in the first place, initiated by that. They seek to strengthen these energies themselves, perhaps because they are plainly quite weak themselves.
Yes, you hear that a lot, don't you? Parents, family members, clergy, even.
Well, yes.
Teachers.
Quite so.
Caregivers, and that sort of thing.
Very often.
But what is it that makes some people that were abused as children turn to be like this as well, and others not?
That is a very difficult question, purely and simply because it may be that they actually have to repeat the urges that occurred during their childhood simply to remain loyal to that childhood. It may be, for example, that children who have been abused in this way find that they wish to return to their childhood. The only way they can do it is by continuing the abuse that they themselves have suffered. It is a crime, of course, against any humanity. Most typically, perhaps, it is something which happens from one race to another race. It may well be that different tribes have, in overpowering another tribe, perhaps, shall we say, or another group, that they will abuse the children. And, of course, the women, as usual. It is usually that women tend to come off worse in this situation. However, very many times and situations will be revealed where boys also are inflicted by this. So, obviously, it is not a gender situation. It is something which just happens because of power and control.
Well, that's like a tribal thing, isn't it, I guess?
It is partly to overcome the genetics of another. It is to say that you are subservient to. It is a typical way in which certain animals will become overpowering and overdominant of others. And in this way, typically with human beings, it will be that this situation is compounded by the very facet of the complexities of society in which you live. In my day, perhaps, it was not so prevalent, although it still happened, and particularly, as I say, within articles of war, where situations were violent, and that perhaps there were situations of invasion or whatever, you would actually find more attempts to abuse those underlings who are defenseless. It is a way of stating the power status over another being.
But is it also taking the opportunity to do something that you know that you're not going to get caught for, so that there was a suppression there all along?
Well, of course, and of course, naturally, also there is a great will to actually manipulate the mental ability of the child to understand, so that they are themselves full of fear.
And so they grow up being subservient and fearful of these...
Of course.
Of the other powerful people.
Yes.
Race or whatever.
Yes. Now, I understand that many try to overcome this state. Perhaps they have become, to a certain extent, withdrawn or timid in their nature. It may well be many other situations that they try to fight it daily or even hourly in their lives. Some people have great problems, and we understand it.
Have some humans just lost so much of instinct that many are no longer capable of knowing how to raise and equip their young with love?
An interesting point, friend. I would have to say that there are, of course, situations in animal state whereby there are those who, for example, in a chimpanzee family, who will actually abuse others of different sibling rival groups. They will actually mete out certain situations of dominance over these other siblings because of rising their status within the hierarchy of the group. So,
what about humans though? I mean, you know, you said that was chimpanzees, but I mean, so many humans have lost this instinct to just love and nurture.
Yes, I understand. Yes, quite so. It is.
It's got to be perhaps genetic as well.
Well, not really.
No.
I would have to say that. In the most part, it is due to environmental pressure, due to environment of the state of how an individual is welcomed into their life and how they continue to be nurtured themselves. Mm-hmm. It isn't to say, however, that a child who was not nurtured will always end up as being an abuser. That would be a crass statement to label someone in that way, and we would not wish to label any one individual or any group specifically per se, because that inflicts infringement upon the individual to their well-being and to, after all, many intents and purposes, they will perhaps have overcome these abusive tendencies or perhaps will not have recognized them at all in their lives. It isn't to say that this will be always a typical case, and I know that full well that many psychologists will feel that this is a valued statement for themselves, that they will try to place people in boxes in order to make it easier to identify certain formats of behavior. And I do understand that so much research has been done into this very facet that it will be typical in many ways that certain people will be identified as being this or that, being
risk categories.
Yes, quite so. Risk categories in that they are exhibiting certain forms of behavior which are not loving, which are not inclusive to many beings.
Well, I think it's a lot to put on somebody that's already had this trauma in their life, and then they have a family, and then they, in the back of their mind all the time, they are labeled, they are put in this box, and they are worried, even though they haven't got any signs or emotions or urges to do this, that is a possibility. And it's like they must feel like there's this alien inside of them that they don't recognize.
Yes, of course, and it is all based upon fear, after all.
Yes, it's a terrible stress.
It is all to do with the fears of the dark secrets within them that they refuse to let out of the box.
Yes. I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about child abuse. If you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. So, do people abuse children live on other planets as well? Is there something that is,
endemic within other races?
Yes.
Partly, I suppose, those who have not managed to climb the escarpment of negativity and ill will toward one another, those who are not perverse enough to recognize abuse that happens within their society will, of course, shrink. It will not become as spiritually uplifted, perhaps, as well endowed within their own enlightenment and awareness within that society as they would if they had not been. It is quite typical that we see for many beings on your side of life that many will suffer from even the smallest incursion into their lives forced upon them by others. This may not be people who are outside of their relative organization. It may well be, after all, and usually is, someone who is recognizable to them. Someone who is a friend, a neighbor, or a family member.
Yes.
And this, of course, makes it even more unpalatable, perhaps, for many on your side of life, those who are of loving awareness and who occupy only the sanctity of life and the well-being of others within themselves.
I have a question from somebody called Ursa, who tends to send her emails in before the show when she knows what topic is of the week. And she sent one in about a program that she saw called Feral Children. It's a documentary about the lives of some badly neglected and even totally abandoned children. And she read a story. It was a story about a little boy who was abandoned along with the family dog, and the toddler and the dog existed in an abandoned apartment block along with other stray dogs, and the child was able to physically survive within this group. I think he was only about four or something like that.
Yes.
So it seems there would have to be something of a spiritual connection with the dogs and the boy for the dogs to be able to come to him.
There we are. It appears to have gone.
Yes.
Well, yes, I would hope so.
Okay, so, anyway, it says about Yes, about he had to compete with the dogs for food, but he followed their example to find food in the first place.
Yes, quite so.
So he must have been able to observe their behavior and develop an ability to communicate on some level in order to learn to survive physically among them.
Yes, and this would have been on a spiritual level, spirit to spirit, that they actually communicated by way of telepathic message from one to the other. And, of course, to do with behavior, lip movement, to do with eye movement, posture and awareness.
All right.
All to do with that is a simple way of how dogs, in particular, in the pack, will behave toward one another, and especially to siblings that they wish to be members of in the pack. Do not forget, there were also... there have been, in fact, many situations where children have been brought up by wolves.
Yes.
And other animals.
Yes.
And quite typically, in those situations as well, it isn't to say that they are necessarily willfully abandoned, although most probably they are by their parents.
Yes.
I am saying it may be that it is a case quite different. That it is actually through the parents or the lone parent perhaps becoming deceased. And therefore, the child merely reacts in their own environment and continues to play out a way of survival that is keenest felt to it. Therefore, it will become far more aware of its own spirit identity and the awareness of sensitivity within itself, so that instinct, in fact, becomes more pronounced within their lives.
Yes. Yes. Apparently, it goes on to say that eventually the child was taken into care and had problems with difficulty learning human language.
Yes, of course.
And problems in that area. And actually, one part of the question that was interesting, she said, will this child have another connection to this another soul group?
Yes, an interesting point. First of all, however, we must take the situation about language.
Okay.
Language, in fact, all becomes more familiar to the child as lip movement, as mouth sounds, and oral exercise. That is how a child actually relates to language, to the shape of the mouth, the posture of the being who is speaking it, also adds to the elevation of what that word or sentence structure means. Therefore, when you are talking to a child and you are becoming animated in whatever way that is, what you are doing is you are adding in this animation, this imagery of how you pronounce different aspects of what it is that you are talking about. So it isn't purely about audio language communication. It is also about sensual and visual aspects of that language and how this interrelationship between each individual in the group will actually help form these fundamental valuables, if you like, the syllables, the connotations of words and what words mean in that specific language. If a child, therefore, is not brought up within a specific language of human structure, it merely reverts to the structure of sensory awareness, which is quite different.
We have a caller online for you. Would you like me to put him on the air with you?
Okay.
You got it.
Hello, Gregory, Sylvie, and everybody on the radio. Gregory,
hi.
I just would like to wish you a happy birthday, because I know your birthday is coming up. But I'd also like to ask, Are some children abused because their parents recognize them as spirits from perhaps other lives or other lifetimes?
An interesting point. I would have to say that generally parents who are abusers tend to do so because there is some angst within their own state of how they view the sibling to be. Perhaps it may be they view the sibling as actually taking something away from them. They do not wish this sibling to become greater than they are. Therefore, it is a vehicle of suppression towards the child. It is usually this way quite simply because they wish to continue to dominate, have power. Remember, this is all about the savior of power and control over the child or over their own lives. That is really what it comes down to in the first instance, is the lack of control in their own lives, so the only way they can exert control is over those who can less defend themselves.
And it's nothing to do with anything that happened before they came to the earth plane?
Not generally, my dear friend. It is not generally to do with anything which happened before in the spirit world or anywhere else.
Gregory, do children choose their parents before they're born?
Some children choose their parents. Not all children choose their parents. Some beings in the spirit world just merely wish to have a physical life. And it isn't really about who or which parents individually, divine though they may be, are the recipients, if you like, of that life. It is really a matter, for example, that you may have a situation of parents who actually have a child that simply does not get on with them, cannot understand them, they cannot understand it. And this tends to be a situation which is actually because the child is not from their soul group, as most children are not from the soul group of their parents, which is why many families find it so difficult to communicate within the family group.
Are there any contracts that are made before a child is born as to what they want to accomplish in their lifetime?
Well, if there were, it would be to say that you do not have a free will existence. The point of having a physical life for you is that you have a free will existence. Yet, it may be, of course, that circumstances of environment actually depict that you don't have a free will existence. After all, what of children of Africa or children who are born in a malnourished state, who actually typically are born to poverty or grief-stricken parents who actually cannot afford to defend their own children? Is it not to say, then, that those children themselves have little free will because the design has been that they have been met, that they have been given life, but within a confined area or a confined degree? I have to say, dear friend, that as complex as this answer may seem to you, that we have to take into account all of these other situations of environment which impact upon the individual. Now, it is, of course, that because a person is born perhaps in a ghetto area of a particular place, does it mean to say that they will never gain their free will experience? That they are always going to be driven solely by the impact of negativity that surrounds them or is upon them? Surely it is to say that many may rise above this negativity or the caste that they have been born into and rise above it through their own free will of expression and, of course, their own nature tied to their spirit. So it is actually the spirit which is revealing their own inner nature to the world. In this way, they are able to surmount over, to pass over the actual confined state that they were born into. So you cannot say that all beings have already had their life mapped out for them before they were even born, because that would no longer allow free will expression to appear upon the spirit having a human experience.
Can you comment a little bit on the birth of Christ or the Dalai Lama or Mozart, how he played piano when he was, you know, an infant? He seemed to have this talent from who knows where.
Yes, quite so. Well, to begin with then, let us call upon Mozart. After all, such a talented child, where did this come from? Being able to play a piano virtually before he could walk. It is actually to do with the relationship of the child as a spirit individual in the spirit world, and how that individual related to other beings that they met, just the same way as how you related to other beings that you met in the spirit world before you had a physical experience, that will possibly have an impact upon your ability or the gift that you have, the gifts of spirit that you have to do with your life experience, how you bring that about. Now, it may well be, of course, that for some people in the physical state, some children may have actually been present when people who were abusers actually passed to the physical, the spirit side of life from the physical world, in which case what happened perhaps was because they were spirit pure and simple, they were giving love to that individual in their recounting of their journey, and in that giving of love, it brings a very strong bond to that being. Some people will possibly remember those bonds they bring. In the case of such people as of whom you speak, such who have great gifts or talents of music or art, it will be perhaps that they have experienced as a spirit the spirit of other beings as they pass back and forth, as they return from their journey in the physical world to the spirit world and recount their journey. This brings great love and wellness within all of those who attend, who listen intently, and who give their love to the moment, because that love is what helps the individual to recount their journey in physical life.
You can play musical instruments in the spirit world, can't you?
Absolutely so. There are many beings, of course, who actually work intensively on creating musical instruments that will be able to be played and heard in the spirit world. Something which, of course, because you have no air and no working of lungs as bellows as such, because you are not a physical being, you are non-physical, therefore you must produce non-physical instruments which will still be able to be played using the mental abilities of consciousness upon actually restructuring the physical laments of your genetic state, perhaps, as you were a physical being. And that is, of course, how beings in the spirit world are able to unify and understand one another, to dress themselves, perhaps, to actually live in houses, work, if that is what they need to do, heaven forbid.
So you could play the piano in the spirit world?
Of course, yes. Or the trombone, or the bassoon, or percussion, or even a harp, or perhaps leaves, whatever it is.
Thank you, Gregory. I understand your birthday is coming up. Do you celebrate birthdays, and do you have holidays in spirit?
Do we have holidays in spirit world? Well, I have to say, my dear friend, that I do not personally have a holiday. I am always busy. There is never a dull moment in the work that I do, as I am so far engaged in the healing work of others, in trying to resolve situations of carnage that happens in the physical world. And so, for me, that is not a situation I have in my life. It isn't to say that I don't enjoy that, or that I do not take rest. I do, at times. Although it isn't to say that I, as a spirit being, need rest. No spirit does. It is to say many beings here will take holidays or whatever it is that has made them happy in their physical life. They will continue to do it ad infinitum. And that is a matter for them. Gradually, their world and evolution will change. I thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, where were we? Well, I know. Can we go on to something called cot death syndrome? This can be a grey area in, I know it's slightly off, slightly off the subject, but not really, because there can be a lot of controversy around this, because a lot of people get blamed for it being child abuse some
yes,
way or another.
Quite so. Typically, of course, they will blame one parent or another over it, particularly if there are, if there is more than one cot death in a particular family. Many will cite that that is genetically impossible, that you could not possibly have the same scale of events or the same situations which come about and are repeated in that way, which of course is rubbish. It is to say that many families can be afflicted by the situation of cot death or
sudden death syndrome.
Sudden death syndrome, yes. And it is very often a situation compounded purely by the physical makeup, by the genetic discrepancy, perhaps, the way in which a particular child may be more prone to that situation, just because of the way that its lungs are, or because of the physical form itself. So, if there is a genuine weakness there, which has not been picked up upon by the medics at the time of birth, then it may well be that this is a small defect, yes, but that one which is overlooked and not ignored, but is really just overlooked, and that the situation can be repeated again and again and again.
Yes, I mean,
unfortunately, of course, there will be this finger of oppression.
Yes, there is, yes.
Always pointed at them, at those parents who may be held responsible in some way for such situations. Of course, it isn't to say that all are to do with this. Some may be the victims of Munchausen by proxy, may be the victims of other kinds of mental illnesses by the parents in order to afflict a form of control over their siblings, a little as though this can happen at times in the wild state where animals are actually cause infanticide.
Yes.
Very often it may happen, particularly in the animal world, by new parents arriving upon the scene of a previous generation.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Bears in particular, and many other animals,
lions,
will actually eat the product of the last year's relationship.
Even then, with humans, it's hard to understand what it is that's going on in that person's mind. And they're all going to be different, though, aren't they, anyway?
Of course. Again, my dear friend, it is so complex a situation because there is a vast array of environmental situations, pressures, which are placed upon the adult concerned. And, of course, it is to say that it is not necessarily at the fault of someone or the blame of someone else.
Okay, I'm Sylvia Avery. You're listening to Spirit's Work. And if you'd like to ask Gregory Hay, Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, a question relating to child abuse, this is our topic for this week, then the phone lines are open. The number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. We do child abusers often have spirit attachments?
Sometimes they do, yes, I have to say. And of course, spirit attachments are very rarely treated on your side of life for what they actually are. Psychologists may well have a different approach to this, may well say that they are dual personalities or some other such highly evolved disorder, which of course they may be. And I'm not saying that they are completely wrong. I'm merely saying there are also other reasons, other possibilities, and spirit attachments are most definitely one of them. They can be very physical situations. People may be involved with a spirit attachment who actually abuses them themselves in a physical way. And perhaps you would say, how on earth could that happen? Well, it can. It may be that the spirit actually present themselves as a guide to begin with, and that this relationship, once they are befriended by this spirit, that they are actually then, I suppose, in a state of vulnerability toward them. The more loving awareness or the more energy they give to the spirit, the stronger the spirit becomes. And particularly, if there was always going to be a negative undertone to the relationship, as far as the spirit is concerned, it will be that they will feed upon this energy that the physical being gives off to them. And that this can cause, most definitely, very physical situations, can become violent, can be most certainly become sexual in nature.
I think we're going to do a program on spirit attachments in a few weeks' time. So
yes, Faith.
We can explain more about that then. Is it worse now than it ever was? It actually seems, or is it just because of the internet and that sort of thing? But it's almost just everywhere.
Yes, unfortunately, I would have to say that the new age of your media world has not actually helped. It may have helped in some instances in that it has brought awareness, but it has also brought a great tablet of fear to many people. This fear means, of course, that the whole relationship between parent and child has changed. The way in which behavior has been allowed by children has actually altered over the generations. In quite recent times, I do understand that you will have it now, that children will not be able to play in the same way in the open environment as they could when the parents were children.
That's right, yes.
And this is quite simply because of the status of how abusers have raised their profile on your side of life, to becoming actually impacting on vast sections of your society.
Or reprimanding children as well. That's another thing.
Yes,
you know,
very
you
well.
You get a clip round the ear or, a smack on the bottom or the back of the legs or whatever. That's just not done now, is it?
It is not. And I suppose for many, they would lament such a thing. That perhaps for many, they may say, well, it never did me any harm, and therefore I shall do it, continue that process. Mm-hmm. Or, of course, for many, it may well be that that is actually frowned upon and seen as abuse in itself. Is it that you feel an individual has actually lost the argument when it turns into physical violence of some sort? Or is it to say that some children need to have physical restraint or correction in some way in order that they may see the moral boundary between themselves and their behavior, what they act out upon others? Is that not also a sight for part of the enactment of your society at this present time? you have children who know no boundaries, who are morally inept in their world, who do not have any restraints within the confines of what they see as permissible or not. Therefore, no boundaries have been drawn. There are no markers, few pressures upon them to rein in their behavior. Perhaps you yourself will feel in your own life that as you walk through it, as you learn day to day, some things you come upon are having a resounding effect upon you, a negative effect upon you, because you have already gathered your moral awareness. And that is something brought to you by your parents, by your behavior. Perhaps as a child, you never even thought once to answer back to a parent or to actually misbehave in a certain way due to your respect for them or due to the awareness that you had of the relationship between you. All of these things matter, have great importance to the benefits of your society and also the family group, the well-being between the family group, how you all get along.
But you can also be a cheeky child and still end up okay.
Of course, and I'm not saying...
Rebelling, can't it?
Yes, my dear friend, absolutely. So how else are you going to have a person of difference if they do not rebel in some way? You cannot have clones of yourself. Otherwise, you just as well be born in a test tube.
Yes.
By design and default.
Exactly. And it's striking the happy medium, isn't it, really?
No pun intended.
No pun intended, no.
Yes, quite so. Well, the point is, of course, that if you have a being who is so structured and so corridored in their life, are you really going to make for a happy child? Or is it that the definitive answer would be that you bring expression to the child of freedom, that you bring freedom to love, to learn, to educate, to bring those doors and windows of the world open upon the individual so that they may look for themselves.
So, can we talk a little bit about the counselling for people? Because I think just about everybody of any age knows somebody that's been abused, is dealing with it now, either it's happening now or it happened many years ago, but they're still suffering the consequences of it.
Yes.
What purpose, if any, does it serve for adults to keep dragging up, talking all the time about the old hurts and abuses that they possibly suffered as children, for instance?
Well, yes. I would have to say that in a limited way, it does serve a purpose, mm-hmm. but only in a limited way. Once you have brought the situation to the surface of your life, you then have to repair the damage that it caused. It isn't to say that it is good either to suppress it. Naturally, it is something that needs to come out. It is something which needs to be brought into the open so that the full and true meaning of it may be brought into the person's life so they are more aware of tendencies and behavior towards certain possibilities or probable cause in their life. Therefore, they will not be so negative about situations that they come upon or that they behave toward in a certain way. It isn't to say then that this excuses certain forms of behavior, but that really it is a lesson in trying to repair it, into analyzing it, seeing it for what it is, and overcoming the will to continue it. Very many people continue their behavior because they lack the will or the presence of mind to actually overcome it, cannot see the reason for it. cannot see that in overcoming this situation, they would actually better their lives, because so many are locked in within that cause.
Yes. So the abuser, I can see why reliving, going over that over and over again to analyze that, I can see that that would be totally understandable. Sometimes I think reliving the pain week after week. I have friends that do that, and they don't seem to be getting an awful lot better.
Yes, but that is because they are reliving the pain, and that is something that is useful to them. It helps them to remind themselves of who they are, even though it is so painful. This is, of course, something which means that they then do not have to deal with a life without it, a life outside of that pain.
Even when they say that they want to be without the pain.
Well, of course, yes. However, you will find very often that these beings will not actually make any real positive moves and continue their positive moves toward it. This is part of the problem, is that people have to be fired within their own imagination, within their own sensual perception of self, to actually be able to continue the process. It is all very well having a spasm of energy in trying to release a certain angst or anger or abusive nature or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have continuance of that energy. That is something which requires work and ethic behind it. You need to be able to establish a routine of being able to overcome the feelings of self-doubt and negativity and self-worth less than you really are. Many people in this way may find difficulty in exploring their own inner gifts because they are always surmounted by the pressures of this inner will, this dis-ease of negativity they suffer from within the abusive state.
So is there something that you see that we generally, social workers and that sort of thing, the people that are supposed to be dealing with this, can you see any sort of glaring, gaping holes in how it's dealt with?
Well, yes, my point really, my friend, is that to begin with, of course, all beings, as well you know, we feel, should meditate. If people meditated, they would be able to overcome situations of grief, situations of disarming facets of life, like abuse. Because in many cases of life, you will shield or use other objects to surrogate what your life has been. Many will use religion, perhaps, to try to find happiness. Yet happiness is within, without necessarily having to concentrate all your energy focused upon another being in order that you no longer have to look at yourself. Does this really make you truly happy? Does this really mean that you can overcome the abusive state of your nature, or the abusive state that was placed upon you by the moral lack of fiber of other beings? I have to say that we are in a quandary as to how to truly implement something which fits everyone. We cannot, because all beings are so very different. Their personalities are so intricate, and woven in that are their abusive traits or the traits of the environment as it has happened upon them. It may well be that abusive states are repressed within a nature and will never be revealed. It may be that to these beings, their happiness lies in just being able to get through to the next day, or just being able, even though they may have windows of when they were abused, or the situation of abuse is relived perhaps daily, it may well be that for them, this isn't something which is going to forever spoil their life, but is just a facet of their life that they have to contend with and have a small portion of it in each day in order to be well.
So, I have another question from Ursa. She says, does it help when we include in our nightly prayers requests for help and healing for innocent children subjected to the trauma of abuse?
Yes, my dear friend. Prayer from anyone, toward anyone, is always a help. Prayer provides energy to the spirit world to bring healing to others, either healing thoughts, words, or deeds. It doesn't have to be that your prayer is aimed at a specific person, although, of course, it may well be directed toward an individual you have an affiliation with or an acquaintance with. It may be that that prayer has within it much loving energy, and in which case, of course, the power of that prayer will be felt by the person. It may not have a dramatic effect upon them, or it may, in fact, not be felt at all. It depends entirely upon the sensual aspect of the person who is receiving the prayer, as to whether they will be aware of it.
And she says, can such prayers be effective if sent out as a blanket to cover as many unfortunate victims as possible?
Yes, well, as I say, prayers in this way are always helpful because all prayers are combined in the loving energies of which they were made, authored, if you like, in which they were brought about within the mind consciousness, how they were lifting in their energy, how they were bringing a force of good to overcome those situations of great negativity. Every prayer will be combined in this way, in this way that it is sent. It will be combined with others who are sent in the same way. And in this, they will be using the energy of these prayers in the spirit world, those who are healing, who are bringing any other form of energy, perhaps to those beings who have just passed, be they children or adults, whoever it is, many beings need help at the time of their passing to understand their transition and to make use of their transitional journey to the spirit world. So, of course, there will be many situations where different points of view are brought about, and the energy of prayer is something which actually utilizes many of the forces in the spirit world for the power of good over others.
And healing will be good, wouldn't it, for anybody in this situation, be it
yes,
children, child, or adult?
Absolutely so. Now, direct healing, of course, will be most useful to those who have suffered any form of abuse. It may well be that this healing takes the form of actual hands-on healing. It doesn't matter what religious group you are a part of or affiliated with. It doesn't matter whether you believe in healing or not. It still means to say that healing will have a beneficial effect, as, of course, will meditation. Meditation is the absolute leveler of humanity to their own divine source of wisdom and understanding. It is the simple way in which human beings may find peace and tranquility and understanding of self and self-respect, I suppose. is coupled with that.
Well, thank you, Gregory, and our heartfelt thoughts go out to anybody who's in this situation.
Yes, of course, to all of those whose lives have been stolen from them by the wicked wills of others. Remember that you are precious. Remember that you are loved beyond all feeling and understanding of what that word may mean to you. You are loved and cherished by those ancestors of yours in the spirit world, by all of those who have ever known you and who have passed on to our side of life, who continue to live in their world just the same as you live in yours. We wish you well. We wish you understanding, and we wish you healing in your life to overcome your sadness.
Well, thank you very much, Gregory. Thank you so much.
With love and light, as always, friend.
Thank you.
Good day.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and thank you so much for listening. I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. And as well as Spirit's Work Radio Show on Blogging Service and BBS Radio on Mondays and Thursdays, we have the Spirit Teaching Radio Show on artistverse.com on Tuesdays. Details are on our site. So, my name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.